You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 353, entitled Soaring Gas Prices and What to Do About It. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, comments, and the feedback that you guys have been sending through. I, like I say, every episode since I started, I really do appreciate that. This week we got another review on iTunes, so that's absolutely fantastic. And of course, as always, when you guys leave reviews for me, I'd like to acknowledge those people. So this week's review comes from R. Steele, all the way from Australia, and gives a 5-star review. The title says, Fantastic Lawn Podcast. It says, I've been listening for a while now, and I find your podcast very informative, and even though I'm in Australia, a lot of the content is very relatable. I'm always looking to learn more about the green industry, so I appreciate you sharing your ideas and experiences. Regards, Wade at Nurtured Lawns, Brisbane, Australia. Well, thank you so much for leaving that review, Wade. I really do appreciate that. It's absolutely awesome. And like I say, if you guys do get value from these interview episodes that I've been doing since 2015, one of the single most important things you can do, if at all possible, is leave a review. And first and foremost on iTunes, and I've explained the reason why that is, or Apple Podcasts as it's called now. And that's because it is sort of the central hub for still most podcasts. It's where podcasting got its start. And a lot of small podcast players still will pull their information and episodes straight from iTunes. But if you can't do iTunes, then by all means, leave a review on Google Podcasts or on Spotify. I appreciate any and all reviews that come in. So thank you very much for that. So happy Easter this past weekend that just passed to all of you out there who celebrated Easter. For me, it was a very nice long weekend that I got to spend. Of course, after 2 years with the pandemic, border restrictions have now eased to a state where no longer testing is no longer required to enter back into Canada, as long as you're fully vaccinated and can show proof of that. And it's very easy to sort of basically upload your documents showing that you have been vaccinated. So it makes crossing the border again very similar to how it was pre-pandemic. So I was able to finally get down to my recreational property in Washington State. I had been a few weeks ago, and back in December as well, they had eased the border restrictions a little bit, actually for like a week or so, and the numbers started climbing again. I think it was 2 weeks that the numbers started climbing. So then they basically had said that, you know, if you had crossed the border by a land border, like driving across, that you wouldn't require testing if you were there for less than 72 hours. So I went down in December and for a day or so checked on everything, and everything was good. It was all like no rodents or things had gotten into the place. It was all, you know, as I had left it. Now, other than the fact that the trailer unit itself, it's basically a travel trailer that I have parked down there on this recreational property. It's got this other sort of structure over it so that it's protected from the weather and all that sort of stuff. So there was no rodents or anything that got into it, but it was a bit musty smelling for the first time in this trailer. So that was a bit of a disappointment, but just, you know, obviously sitting in the middle of a forest, having a structure like that, and not being, doors or windows open for 2 years, it was obviously to be expected that it was going to be a bit musty smelling. So ironically, I started doing some research. This is kind of getting off of today's topic, but I was kind of doing some research on how to get rid of that musty smell and learned or discovered the world of vehicle like detailing and all that sort of stuff, and these things called ozone sterilizers and stuff. So I ordered one of those, and then before it could even arrive there in the US, that's when the borders closed again. So I went about a week or so ago, once they opened up the borders again. So I'd been about 2 months or so, 2.5 months since I had been there to just quickly check on it in December. And I knew something had terribly gone wrong when I went back into the trailer this time about a week ago. And I quickly discovered just before the pandemic started, when they're talking about shutting down the borders and all that stuff, I had basically winterized the trailer and got it all ready for sort of a, you know, what I thought at the time would be just a few months of not being able to go down there. And, you know, ended up being 2 years. But I took all of, we had soda cans and stuff like that, Coke and Pepsi, all that sort of things. And I just put them, I thought, you know, if by chance, you know, this goes longer, goes into a winter or something like that, I don't want these cans freezing. And I turned off all of the power to the unit. So we defrosted the fridges and all that stuff, left them all open and all that. So I took all the soda cans or pop cans, as they're known here in Canada. And we put them, I thought, I'll just put them inside because we had like an outside kitchen area. So I took them all inside the trailer, put them into the bathtub, thinking, you know, if they were to freeze, you know, they'll probably just expand. And then you know, once they thaw out, they'll just leak out. You know, if the cans like burst once they're like ice, then they'll just thaw out and then they'll just go down the drain in the bathtub. So I'll just keep them all in the bathtub. So when I checked on it in December, after 2 years, everything was completely fine. But then I guess the temperature dropped even colder since we were there in December. And I think I talked about last week how there was back in January, the ice and stuff in the cul-de-sac and all that stuff, like the temperature had gotten so cold that it was like a skating rink. Well, I guess during that time, those cans froze, but about 3 or 4 of them burst, and they just sprayed Coke everywhere, all over the walls, onto the ceiling. And I had the shower curtain kind of 3/4 of the way closed. So that little bit that was open to allow sort of air circulation from the roof vent that's above the shower through to flow through the trailer to the other roof vent in the other part of the front of the trailer. Some of the Coke kind of escaped out of there as it was spraying and stuff. So there was like brown, sticky Coke everywhere, and some of it had turned into mold. So that was not fun. And of course, back in December, when I originally visited the place and everything was fine, but it was kind of musty smelling, I took all the linens and clothes and towels and everything and brought them back home to Canada just to wash, to just, you know, kind of clean that smell out of them after 2 years. So when I went back there, I had nothing with me. So there was no towels, no linens, no clothing, nothing there that I could use to wipe down stuff. So I had to kind of make do and found my vehicle wash mitt that I had out in the shed and I had a bucket out there and some like car wash cleaner, and I was able to use that to wipe down and clean the walls and stuff and get as good as I could. And then we went back a few days later and then did a proper cleanup of the place. And I ended up pressure washing and all that sort of stuff. So this past weekend was the first time going back there after everything was all cleaned. And it was, so it was nice to just go there for the weekend and to be able to enjoy myself on this recreational property. And it was nice because nothing went wrong. Nothing in terms of the trailer, nothing was broken. I brought my toolbox and all sorts of stuff, multimeter and all things, just expecting that after 2 years, you know, something wouldn't work, whether it's a hot water tank or, you know, something like that. But everything was smooth sailing. So it was really nice to be able to sit back there, enjoy a campfire for the first time, wood burning campfire for the first time in 2 years. I had that basically going from Friday all the way through the weekend. Pretty much all day long. Some fires, did a lot of nice hikes through the campground as well. What else did we do? Just a whole bunch of, we went some shopping, went to a restaurant that we like down there. Drove the golf cart around. That was another thing that I was worried about, the golf cart being parked for 2 years not being used. But that worked flawlessly as well. So all in all, it was a nice long weekend. It was actually the first time in 2 years since the pandemic started that I was able to get away anywhere. Just with, you know, all the shutdowns and lockdowns and all that sort of stuff, you know, there wasn't really too many places to go, not really having any of our camping gear and all that sort of stuff. I usually keep at this recreational property because, of course, our travel trailer and all that is there all year long. So all the stuff that we used to have when we would do your regular style camping, where you're traveling to different campsites and all that sort of stuff, I didn't have any of that stuff with me during the pandemic. So we didn't even bother going sort of camping locally, so to speak. We just basically stayed at home for the past 2 years, not being able to really travel or do anything like that. So it was very nice to finally just... get away, get out of the country for more than a few hours, for a few days, and just to be on, you know, that other property. Especially, you know, over the past 2 years, you know, regardless of whether I was allowed to cross the border or not because of the pandemic and not being able to use the property, I still had to pay for the property. I still had to keep up on all the payments and everything that's required for maintenance and all those things on that piece of property. So it was nice to finally, after 2 years of, paying for that, to actually be able to go down and use it. So very good. So hopefully you guys all enjoyed your Easter weekend as well. So for this week, before we get into it, I'm just going to play the sponsored ad for this week, and then we'll get into it right after this. So stay tuned.
At Exmark, we've poured decades of leading-edge engineering and old-fashioned work ethic into our Laser Z, the pioneering commercial zero-turn rider more landscape pros trust. So now you can experience cut quality, performance, comfort, durability, and reliability beyond your wildest dreams. Stop by your local dealer or visit Exmark.com to experience an Exmark Laser Z and the attractive financing offers available now.
Hey, Lawn Care Nation, want to kickstart your lawn care business in the right direction? Introducing the Lawn Care Business Success Academy and the How to Price Lawns Profitably course. Save yourself the time and headaches of trying to figure out how to price lawn mowing jobs properly on your own. Learn about knowing your numbers and how to set a profitable hourly rate in 5 steps. Discover the 5 things to consider before quoting a lawn. What to look for when you're out in the field. How to spot red flags, and what questions to ask prospective clients. Then learn how to put it all together and the best way to present a quote. So if you're ready to get your business on the road to profitability, then head over to LawnCareBusinessSuccessAcademy.com.
Okay, so this week, I wanted to talk about a little bit about, obviously, with all the craziness that's going on in the world, there's, you know, the war in Ukraine and all that sort of stuff. Gas prices have, started to skyrocket, really, sort of to unseen, levels. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I saw, actually an Instagram post. I don't remember what company it was, but they mentioned something about, it was kind of like posting a notice on their Instagram account about, notice to customers. Unfortunately, they are no longer doing, lawn maintenance, this year because of the cost of fuel. And it went on to say something about that, they had, looked at the numbers and they just couldn't make it work. So they were deciding to get out of lawn maintenance and just do hardscaping and that sort of thing. So I thought that was quite the dramatic sort of stance on, the lawn pricing, especially now. I could be wrong because obviously, I haven't talked to the person who posted this. I haven't really delved in more into it other than just seeing the post and just kind of taking it at face value of what it said in terms of the caption and all that, with it basically saying that they looked at the numbers and they couldn't make it work, so they were getting out of it. Now, to me, that's interesting because it wasn't a caption that said they looked at the numbers, they, then talked to clients and told them about a price increase, and, the clients all kind of refused or, said they were going to, cancel service and all that sort of stuff. So they've decided not to do lawn service. No. It said that they've looked at the numbers and they've determined that they can't make it work. So to me, that's kind of giving the signal that they're not even giving themselves the chance at that, because they're determining that it's not going to work without even seeing if the customers are okay with a price increase. They're just kind of determining that, and I've seen this before. I've seen this sort of mindset before. I've seen it in comments, one of the reviews I got for my podcast years ago, somebody commented on that about the pricing. I mentioned in the pricing about, $60 an hour and that sort of stuff, a dollar a minute, sort of as a starting point. And the person, mentioned, I could never get $60 an hour where I live. Well, how do you know that? How do you know you can't get that unless you try? Like, it's just that mentality. Like, if your own numbers and you know that that's what you need to charge and you're not charging that because you think that you can't in your area, well, then you shouldn't be even in business in that area for that job if your numbers are telling you you need to charge that much. Because what is then the point to be doing it if you're losing money? It makes absolutely no sense to do that. You have to go by the numbers and knowing what it's costing you and making a profit. If you're not making a profit, if you're just cutting or breaking even in your business, then that is, you can predict the future in that regard. Because if you're broke now and you're breaking even, then in 10 years, you're going to be broke, just the same as you are today. It's an easy way to predict the future, predict your financial standing. If right now you're only breaking even and your mindset is that you can't charge more, then, right there, that is what your future entails for you. So you have to, go by the numbers. So when I saw that comment, I thought that's really quite dramatic for a company to sort of rule every other possibility out. Now, it's okay if you don't want to do lawn maintenance. If you're saying, Price of gas is up and all that sort of stuff. And you know what? I'm kind of getting tired of doing lawn maintenance, and you know, I just don't feel like doing it anymore. I'd rather, you know, I'm seeing that, you know, we've been dabbling in some hardscaping. We've been doing some projects here and there, and I'm, you know, seeing that they're so much more profitable doing that. Then that's a completely different story to say, you know what, we're just going to sort of get out of the rat race of the lawn maintenance part of it. Because of course, depending on where you are, it can be very, very competitive. And there can be, obviously, I've talked about so many times that low barrier of entry to lawn maintenance, that everybody thinks it's easy, that you know, there's no real school required or training or anything like that. You can, you know, anybody can pick up a lawnmower, and that's why you see, you know, businesses of different strokes, basically. You know, you can have a kid who mows lawns after school doing it using, you know, the homeowner's own equipment. I've seen that where the kid just goes and mows lawns, but he doesn't actually carry a lawnmower with him. He uses each homeowner's lawnmower. I've seen ones where the kid is carrying the lawnmower and trimmer with little wagons behind their bicycles, that sort of thing. You know, to people who are retired, I've seen that. There's a guy in my neighborhood that does that, who he doesn't live in my neighborhood, but he's always cutting lawns in my neighborhood, where you can, you know, clearly see it's an old guy who's in his retirement type years, and he's mowing some lawns for some extra money. So, you know, that all the way to full businesses like mine and like yours, surely. If you're listening to this podcast, then you're probably pretty serious about doing lawn care and running a lawn care business. So, you know, there's that whole scope of different businesses, and that's, you know, it's all because of that low barrier of entry into lawn care. And it's obviously a lot easier of a business to get into as well in terms of acquiring customers, because for the most part, you're outside of their property. And it's a lot easier to have people hire you for certain types of jobs when it's on the exterior of their property, when you're not actually going into their house. When you're going inside of somebody's house for a certain job, then you know, it can be a lot a little bit more tricky to land those customers, to get those types of jobs, because those customers will tend to be a little bit more picky, a little bit more selective in allowing people that they don't know, strangers, into their homes. And basically, you know, the opportunity to scope out their properties and their belongings and all that sort of stuff. So they're a little bit more picky about that. But when you're talking about services that are on the outside of a home, like lawn care or pressure washing, that sort of thing, then, you know, it's, they're not as, of course, they, I've seen still where they are selective, depending on your neighborhood that you're talking about, depending on the neighborhood that you're dealing with. You know, some neighborhoods aren't going to be mined as much, and then there's other neighborhoods that are maybe a little bit more upscale, a little bit more looking for that, you know, higher or more image of the company. Plays a bigger part, a bigger role in how they're hiring, you know, companies or individuals. So something just to keep in mind. But with lawn care, that sort of low barrier of entry, of not needing training and all that sort of stuff, and then also being on the outside of homes makes it very easy. Now, this means that you have a lot of competition. There's lots of businesses that flood the market every year, lots of new guys, especially when there are lots of restrictions. I've you know, interviewed a lot of people in the past year who have started their business in the past year because of the pandemic, because of getting furloughed, of losing their jobs, of things like that, and needed somewhere else to turn, something else to do to generate income for their families. And lawn care seemed to be that natural progression. We've talked about and interviewed firefighters and police officers and things like that who again, might work like shift work in their, you know, full-time job with all of their benefits and all that stuff in as a firefighter or as a police officer. But they might work, you know, four-day shifts straight and then have 3 days off. And then they're doing lawn care as a sort of a side hustle business. So there's lots of different competition in lawn care, and that can make it, you know, depending on the type of customer, can make it difficult because there is that perception that, you know, lawn care is cheap, that, you know, a lot of people still think that, you know, it shouldn't cost more than $15, $20 to mow a lawn, even though, you know, it's 2022, and fuel prices alone dictate otherwise, that you know, it's a lot more expensive. So what can you do when fuel prices are the way that they are? They're out of your control. And if you think about, you know, if you're going to continue to mow lawns this year with fuel prices, and I'm not going to get into all the different fuel prices because you guys can refer back to, you know, all of the other episodes the last few weeks where I've been complaining about fuel prices myself and talking about how much fuel is where I am here in the Pacific Northwest. That just, you know, it's utter insanity with the cost of fuel. But the, you know, the key here, again, as I mentioned, is to, of course, you know, you have to know your numbers. That is the biggest thing. You have to know what it costs you to run your business, what it costs you and what you require to charge other people as a sort of a profitable hourly rate to base your prices on. So I've talked about this in the past where basically you're going to take all of your expenses, everything it costs you, your cell phone bills, your truck insurance, trailer insurance, all your tools, the maintenance, you know, estimated fuel usage, all that sort of stuff. You're going to add that all up for the year. If you've been in business over a year, this is a little bit easier to do because you can base it on last year's pricing. And if you're just starting out, then you're going to be guesstimating what you think you're going to be using it. And you're always going to be revisiting this number so that you're always honing it. So your first number, if you're just starting out and you're guesstimating stuff, it's not going to be very accurate. But as you start going along, your first week, your second week, as you add customers and things like that, then you can start honing that in, and you constantly revisit this. You constantly work the numbers to see where you stand, and you figure out your profitable hourly rate. Now, in the podcast ads there, one of the ads there was for my own Lawn Care Business Success Academy, where I have a course how to price lawns profitably, and part of that course is going over how to figure out your profitable hourly rate, knowing your numbers, all that sort of stuff. So if you need help with that, that's a good starting point. You can head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com, go to the academy page, and check out that course there. But basically, you have to know your numbers to get into it, because, of course, those numbers don't lie, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no, you know, two ways about it. If your numbers are telling you you're not making money, then you're not making money. There's no way around that. So knowing your numbers is absolutely critical, because of course you don't want to be just mowing lawns and breaking even. You want to be profitable. You want to have money aside for your future, to be able to invest, to be able to go on vacations, to buy recreational properties, to you know, buy electric cars like I did a few weeks ago on a whim, even though I didn't need another car. I just, you know, went out and bought it. It's all knowing your numbers. It's all you know, basing your prices on a profitable hourly rate. You know, figuring that out. So for me, you know, talking to some other guys, and, you know, we all came to the same conclusion. And that is, you know, everything around us, everything that I'm paying for, I've seen an increase for. When I go to the grocery store, everything is skyrocketed. Looking at the prices of meat and chicken breasts and all that sort of stuff, to fruits and vegetables, even bread products, everything else, everything has gone up in price. Even peanut butter, which is, you know, I actually even saw a story about this on the news where they're talking about how, you know, a jar of peanut butter has is sort of kind of that tipping point, because it's been roughly the same price for 20 years, regardless of what inflation has done. They've, you know, always managed to keep peanut butter as a staple, as that sort of that price, that whatever that price is, for a jar of peanut butter has always roughly stayed the same. And for the first time in like 20 years, peanut butter has skyrocketed in price as well. So everything around us, insurance, not only you know, of course, the fuel, but you know, a lot of this is obviously based on fuel, because it takes fuel to transport those goods to and from factories into stores. It takes fuel to heat those buildings, to have those employees in, all that sort of stuff. Then there's the shortages because of lockdowns, not having maybe as many employees because of restrictions and all that stuff during shift works and things like that. So everything has gone up in price. And then, of course, with turmoil and war happening in Europe there, you know, and, you know, that affecting the prices of oil, and the oil supply to European countries, which means now they're trying to get oil from other places, supply and demand. Of course, you know, all those fuel prices keep going up. So if you're, of course, mowing lawns here, and then you go and, you know, I'm going to go and price, go mow these lawns for the exact same price I, you know, mowed them last year. And last year, fuel prices were 40% less than they are this year. Then you're taking a huge hit. You're not making, not only are you not breaking even, now you're losing money. If you were at the point where you didn't even know your numbers and you were mowing lawns just breaking even, now you're losing money. Now it's costing you to mow lawns because of the, you know, price increases. So, you know, what I did with it, you know, just I took a two-prong approach for lawns this year. So basically, number one, the first strategy is there's no way around it. I have to raise prices. So I raised prices across the board. I went over my numbers, I looked at it, sort of estimated, and it's difficult. I will admit that it's difficult in not knowing where those numbers are going to stop. Because, you know, the fuel prices are what they are right now. That doesn't mean that they're peaked out. We don't know that. We don't know if they're going to, you know, traditionally, you know, it's only April right now. Traditionally, by summertime, during the, you know, the driving travel season, when people are going on vacation and road trips and all that sort of stuff, fuel prices go up. So right now, they're already at record highs. So we don't know if, you know, come summertime, if those fuel prices are going to go up, you know, substantially more. So, you know, there is that as well. So when I looked at my numbers, I was looking at, you know, what it, what I should sort of estimate my prices to go up per lawn or per service. I decided to go per service also because I had already received sort of my first invoice from my supplier for fertilizers and all that as well. And I basically then just rounded up. And for me, that looked like a $5 increase across the board for everything I do. So from your typical, and I sort of classified it with lawn property size, so I can't say exactly across the board, but about 90% across the board, it was a $5 increase for every lawn mow and every fertilizer, every aeration, every lime, every moss control, everything went up $5. On the only exception to that are the much larger properties, the ones that were, you know, like my larger commercial property and stuff like that. With those ones, I went up $10 per mow for those, because of course on those properties you're using much you know, more fuel than you would with the traditional ones. So with those ones, I went up $10 because of the fuel. Everything else, I went up $5. And basically, I just found that number. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but then I just rounded up evenly. And, you know, hopefully that will hold and will cover me, gives me a little bit of wiggle room in case the prices do go up a little bit more. If they substantially, start to increase, then I'm going to have to look at it again. And this may be one of those years where you have to do a second increase partway through the year. But what I'm thinking is, across the board, prices went all the way up. And then if I have to, what I'll do is do like a fuel surcharge on top of that $5 increase. And then just, do a fuel surcharge, because I don't think, like, if the prices continue to go up, like, say, for the summer, if they peak for summer, if I add like a fuel surcharge, depending on how much higher they go, if it sort of consumes the sort of wiggle room I have in that $5 per service increase, and I have to add a fuel surcharge, then it's usually a temporary thing with the summertime fuel prices, because then once the fall hits, then those prices will come back down again. So then a fuel surcharge is something that is just a temporary thing. You can say to clients that, hey, there's a fuel surcharge going to be hit because of the prices. So once, anytime prices of fuel are this much or higher, then this additional fuel surcharges will be added to your bill. Once the fuel prices are, below that number, then that fuel surcharge is not charged. So the sort of that way of doing it versus how I increased it right now with $5 across the board is basically going, if fuel is at an all-time high, I don't see it, it might go down a little bit, and it has fluctuated a little bit, but it's never, I don't think it's going to go back down 40% the way it was, last year. I think it's, traditionally, fuel has never gone back down in price for more than a few days or anything like that to any sort of substantial level. So I think we're here at this fuel price is how it's going to be. And I don't see, that sort of changing, especially as governments and stuff try to phase out. You see a lot of talk about electric cars only going for sale at, certain years. I think in Canada here, it's 2035. The year 2035 is when all vehicle manufacturers have to only sell electric cars in Canada, 100%. No more gas cars for sale in Canada, brand new, of course, from 2035 on. You'll, of course, still be able to buy gas cars, but they'll be used on the used market. But for a brand new car after 2035, that is their target, that only brand new cars sold will all be electric. So it's one of those things. So that's that main approach, is that knowing your numbers, figuring out that increase, and then doing that. The second approach, and I'm going to touch back on that fuel or that pricing increase in a bit. But the next sort of two-prong approach that I mentioned, the second was, is I know the inevitable. I know that we're going in the way of electric, that everything's going to be battery powered. I've talked about how cities around me, some cities in California, that sort of stuff, but also cities close to me, just a couple suburbs over, that sort of stuff, already talking and, kind of passing the first sort of readings and stuff of new law changes, banning gas powered outdoor, lawn equipment. And, if those go through the second and third readings and that becomes law, then, you're no longer allowed to use gas powered equipment to mow lawns, whether you're a residential homeowner or a commercial, business, regardless of whether the industry is ready for it now, there's that debate that, hey, for some things it's good, hedge trimmers and things like that, you could probably, get away with, but, lawnmowers and stuff, that's a whole different story. We're not quite there yet. Backpack blowers, we're not there yet, with battery power, but, a lot of time legislators and city councilors and all that stuff, they're not up to that. They'll see at their Home Depot's got a bunch of Ryobi stuff on sale and figure, hey, it's ready to go. There's no need for gas-powered equipment right now. So, and that's not a knock at Ryobi, but it's just one of those things, right, where they don't have sort of the full scope of sort of where the industry is at. Yes, GIE this past year seemed to be the year of the battery with a lot of companies putting that stuff on display. But, we're not quite there yet. So my second part of that two-prong approach is that I've had the Milwaukee battery-powered stuff for a while now. And I love using it for hedge trimming. Haven't used my gas-powered hedge trimmers at all for the past 3 years. So I found, you know, sort of that where I really like using battery power. For string trimming, the Milwaukee trimmer has been, you know, it's fine for your weekly mowing and maintenance, that sort of thing, which is, you know, primarily what I'm doing anyways. But I never really fully adopted it because gas prices, it wasn't a huge savings. Even right now, with gas being just absolutely astronomical in pricing, when I think about how much fuel I actually use in a string trimmer each day the blower each day, it's not a big deal. It's not a huge deal, especially when I'm increasing prices by $5. But I've decided to just start getting used to using battery-powered equipment anyway. So for at least with the Milwaukee stuff, because I'm here in the Pacific Northwest, it rains a ton, as you guys are aware of. With the Milwaukee stuff, I don't think it's quite rated to be used in pouring rain type situations. Because, you know, the batteries, it's not quite sealed. Like, you put the battery on the back, if you guys have seen it, there's exposure there for water to get into those contacts and stuff like that. So, I think the motor is sealed and that sort of stuff, but the battery connections and stuff isn't. So, I will use the battery powered equipment, at least that Milwaukee stuff, because there is other brands. There are other, a few weeks ago, I was able to talk to the Greenworks commercial guys and see, get a tour, a private tour of all their equipment, their stand-on mowers, zero turns, their push mowers, all their handheld equipment, all that sort of stuff. And I was talking about that, asking about the rain and stuff. And they said how, there's some cool stuff coming down the pike that will be, fully rated for weather and all that sort of stuff. So very cool. And it's obviously something to be expected that is sort of how it's going to be for commercial equipment. It's going to have to be used in all sorts of conditions. So very good to see, as expected, that stuff would come down the pike. But for right now, because I'm using the Milwaukee stuff, I don't think it's fully rated for that. And I don't want to damage the stuff because obviously I like using stuff for hedge trimming and all those other things and all that sort of stuff. So I'm using it in conditions where I can. So if it's sunny, I'm using the string trimmer. If it's a bit overcast, if it's just drizzly and stuff, I might try to use it. But if it's pouring rain or raining steadily, then I'll use the gas equipment that day. So that's sort of that two-prong sort of approach. I actually just picked up the other day, actually it was on the Thursday morning, last Thursday morning. So it's currently Monday right now, just before the Easter break there. On a whim, I decided, you know what? The one thing I don't have is a battery-powered blower. I've got a bunch of other blowers, gas blowers, but I don't have a battery-powered handheld blower. I'd like to experiment with one of those. I was actually at a customer's property the week before, and I was using the Milwaukee trimmer, and the neighbor's door was open, garage door was open, and the neighbor was standing in the garage, and I noticed him. He was getting ready to mow his lawn too. And I noticed as he turned around, he was holding and he heard the Milwaukee trimmer and he turned around to look. And as he did, I saw that he was holding a Milwaukee quick lock system. And he kind of like smiled and waved and stuff. And I guess he was like very assured of himself, the professional lawn guy next door was showing up with a Milwaukee trimmer when, that's what he has as a homeowner. He came out to talk to me and asked me how I liked it, and I told him that I really liked it and all that sort of stuff, and he also had the Milwaukee blower, and I asked him how he liked that, and that I haven't had a chance to actually try one yet. So he handed it to me and said, hey, try it out, see what you think, right? So I pulled the trigger, it was on the rabbit mode, and it had plenty of power for doing, regular grass clippings and stuff. I blew the curb and stuff, and it had no issue blowing grass clippings and stuff. So I said, you know what, I'm going to pick up one of these, right? So on that Thursday morning, I decided, before I even go to work this morning, yeah, first thing in the morning, I'm going to run to Home Depot and pick one of these up. So I went to Home Depot and I picked up the Milwaukee handheld blower. I bought the tool only version because I have, you know, a bunch of 9 amp hour batteries and a 12 amp hour battery. And I figured, you know what, I can use a 12 amp hour battery. Hopefully that'll be enough. The one 12 amp hour battery in the Milwaukee blower. And then I can use the 9 amp hour batteries. And so far this year, as I've been using it, the days I've been taking out, I've only needed 2 of the 9 amp hour batteries to get through a typical day of trimming the small houses that I do typically. You know, it's worked out really well. So I always have the 3 batteries, the 3 9 amp hours batteries with me. I use 2 during the day. I've got 1 spare, and then, I can put the 12 amp hour, in the blower. And then of course, if that one runs out, then I still have that 1 spare 9 amp hour battery as well. That's there. And I've got a bunch of other, Milwaukee batteries too, but they're smaller capacities, that I could take, but, of the big batteries, that's what I have. So I picked that up on the Thursday. I used it the one day so far, and, have to say, on the regular turtle mode, I was not impressed. It was very weak. Whereas on the string trimmer, I can trim on, the turtle mode on the string trimmer, which is obviously going to give you, you know, it's less power, but it gives you extended range, of course, right? Because it's not using as much of the battery. But for the regular weekly maintenance, it was absolutely fine. No issues at all using turtle mode on the string trimmer. But on the blower, after the first day at least, I was like, yeah, it's got to be on the rabbit mode, on the blower. Now, the nice thing, though, with the blower is that it's instant on and off. As soon as you pull that trigger, you get that full power. You let go, it turns off. So you're not using, like, a regular blower where you were to start it, and then you're blowing. And then, you know, if you're not using it in a section as you're walking, it's still running. It's still burning fuel. With this, you know, you let go of the trigger, it's not blowing anymore. So it doesn't use, you know, as much power in that sense. You're conserving power because when you're not pulling the trigger, it's not on. So in that sense, it was working out pretty well. At least the first day that I used it, I think I went through the full Thursday and I used only half of that 12 amp hour battery. There was still 2 bars left on that 12 amp hour battery when I finished the day. So we'll see how it continues to go this week with that. But that's part of my two-pronged approach, is just sort of knowing that, hey, this is how it's going. I can use those pieces of equipment, because of course it costs pennies to charge those batteries, and if I can get through the days with those on days that I can, then hey, that's a cost savings. The customer's still paying that increase, of course, because my truck is diesel, so you know I'm still paying fuel for that, and that's you know, obviously the biggest cost of fuel to me is the actual truck, and then next would be the mowers. And I'm not using battery powered mowers per se. You know, even that Echo 21 inch mower I've talked about, you know, I only have 1 battery for that. And you know, in my early tests so far with that Echo, I think it's the DLM 2100 SP, yeah, that mower, after, you know, 2 or 3 times of using it now, just on my own property, on my parents' property, that sort of stuff, that one is not ready for prime time, not ready for commercial use. It's fine if you're a homeowner. It cuts fine. It doesn't bog down or anything like that so far that I've tried it, just in regular conditions. I haven't obviously gone out and mowed wet grass and things like that like I would have to in a commercial sense. But the biggest thing with that one is the self-propel is just very, very slow. Like, agonizingly slow on even its fastest speed. So I would not be able to use that, you know, for any sort of length of time, other than maybe sort of a special, like I need to use it for this particular property because it's, you know, much lighter or something like that, if I needed it in that sort of scenario, or, you know, I want to get out early, and, you know, maybe I got to be somewhere at the end of the day, so I'm going to get an early start today. So my first house or two, I'll use, you know, I could, you know, potentially take the battery powered mower just so that it's quiet, so I'm not making a bunch of noise because I'm leaving earlier, along with the trimmer and blower. Would be, you know, a sort of case use scenario for that. But, you know, I'm still waiting for sort of the commercial mowers and stuff. Still waiting for something that is, fully commercial that can perform just as well as sort of the gas-powered X-Marks that I'm used to. And I'm really excited about, the 21-inch X-Mark commercial, that battery power that they have. Really excited about when that gets released to see how that will perform compared to the gas-powered counterpart. But so that's sort of my two-prong approach, is that I will continue experimenting when I can with battery-powered stuff, because that is eventually where we're going. Even if I can't use it, full time, it's sort of a hybrid model of using it, battery powered on days I can, gas on the days where the weather is poor and I can't use the battery powered stuff, is sort of where I'm sort of, taking it in that sort of approach. Now, back to what I was talking about earlier, I wanted to touch on those fuel prices again and that price increase. So one thing I did this time differently in terms of customers and when it comes to fuel prices is that I didn't tell any of them. Now, normally, if I do a fuel or a price increase on my lawn service, I would send them a letter first, an email, that sort of thing. And say, hey, you know what? I'm going to have to raise my prices this year and that sort of stuff. But I thought, you know what? This year, you have to be out to lunch if you're a client and you don't expect a price increase this year. With everything that's going around, if you can't understand that the lawn guy whose whole business is based on, primarily, at least up to this point, because, most of them have not seen me outside of hedge trimming, use battery-powered equipment. If you don't expect the guy that has all gas-powered equipment to have to raise prices given the way the situation is, then you're probably not the customer that I want if you're going to be complaining about that. So I said, I just started doing their first cuts. It just happened to be that I started kind of that mid-March with a few of them. Other ones, I did the others. So, primarily most of the clients got one cut. Some of them got two cuts by the time that first bill came. I just billed them all with the new pricing. I put a note on the bills themselves saying, unfortunately, due to obviously the rising cost of gas and all that sort of stuff, I've had to raise prices across the board on every service and everything and then I just changed that for whichever customer it was. So $5 for the majority of them, and then $10 for the ones that affected. And just did it that way. As a matter of fact, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is how it is. And then I took a highlighter and I highlighted it on each invoice so that they were sure to see that it's there, it's highlighted, that this is the case. And that was it. There was a couple of clients, a handful of them, where I saw them and I talked to them. And just, when they welcomed me back and were talking, seeing how things were going over the winter and all that sort of stuff. And I said, oh, yeah. By the way, unfortunately, I have to raise the prices, all that sort of stuff. None of them complained about it. They were all like, yeah, of course. Like, you have to raise prices. How can you continue not mowing with the way fuel is and all that sort of stuff, right? I had others who, one of them, I put the bill in the door and then they came outside and they were holding it. So I thought they were going to come and ask me about it. And they weren't. They were just coming out to ask me how I was doing and all that sort of stuff. And I mentioned to them, oh yeah, by the way, on the bill there, you'll notice I had to raise the prices. And they had seen it already. And they said, oh yeah, but it was only by $5. They were like, I thought you were going to do it by more. And they're like, don't worry. We totally understand. We have our own business. We've had to raise prices across the board. We totally get it. So it was an interesting experiment for me to do this time, because it's the first time ever where I've just raised prices across the board and I didn't tell any customer in advance about it. I just continued doing their mowing and I billed them under new pricing, and I put a note on it. I didn't give them sort of a opt out or, in a month the prices are going up and, that sort of thing, opt out if you don't want to think. I just billed them and did it. And I've had no response from anybody. I've had no pushback, no complaints, no anything about anybody. I was expecting maybe one or two to say, you know, I can't afford it, blah, blah, blah. Nobody said anything. Nobody said a word. So just, I just say that to you guys to give you sort of confidence in knowing that, yes, we are in extraordinary times in terms of pricing with fuel and all that sort of stuff. But I think it's safe to say that people get it and they expect it, that prices are going up because everything else around them has gone up. So why wouldn't the lawn guy, who's primarily, you know, his business is based all around fuel. So, and I've told people, because there's a couple of them, you know, when I've talked to some of them, like I mentioned, you know, it might be a day that I'm using, you know, the battery powered trimmer or something. And I'm like, you know, this might look bad. Like I just raised the price, you know, $5 a cut, but I'm using a base because of the price of fuel, but I'm using a battery powered trimmer, right? So I just say things like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to, you know, do all I can, you know, hopefully the $5 will cover it for this year. I'm thinking, you know, hopefully that'll work out for everybody's price goes up, every service goes up by that. You know, I'm trying to do other things. I'm trying to experiment. I'm trying to experiment with the battery powered stuff, but it doesn't always work, right? And I say, you know, in rainy days, you can't use it, stuff like that. I got to make sure batteries are charged, you know, kind of laid out. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's cool, right? And sort of thing and that. So it's interesting that nobody has complained or said anything about it. So just one of those things. If there was any year, you know, it can be hard for you guys. A lot of you guys are starting out and sort of stuff, or if you're in your first, second year, you don't want to raise prices because, you know, you're worried you're going to lose customers and that sort of stuff. If there was any year where you could justify a price increase, this should be the year where it shouldn't take any convincing, just with the fact that what it costs you at the pump. You know, if price of fuel, and I know where I'm at, it's 40% higher than it was this time last year. So, you know, there's no arguments there that you need to have your prices increased to make sure that you're making enough money, right? Know that you've gone over your numbers. Yeah, you know, you're trying alternative methods, if that is something you're interested in terms of trying battery-powered equipment and things like that, where you can, even if it's just for hedge trimming and stuff like that, like I recommend, you start with battery-powered stuff. But know that, you know, you are worth it when you're doing your lawn care business, right? You have to be able to, you know, put that money aside, be able to take vacations, be able to have maybe money to invest, buy yourself some nice things, whatever you're into, you know, provide for your family, put your kids through college, all that sort of stuff. And that's not going to happen if you're not raising prices, if you don't know what it costs to be in business and you're mowing lawns today for the same price that it cost you yesterday, even though you're paying potentially 40% more in your materials or your fuel to be able to provide that same service. So, you know, definitely something that you have to be brave about. It can be scary. Like I said, I decided this year that I didn't care what customers said. If they wanted to basically cancel service, I was absolutely fine with that. I was like, you know what? Whatever. If you want to cancel service because of fuel prices, if you don't understand the fact that I have to raise prices when everything I use to get here, pulling a trailer with a big truck to get this equipment here, then this equipment, most of this equipment is all needs fuel to run, to maintain your property. If you can't understand that I need to raise prices, then you know what? I don't need you as a client. So just one of those things. So hopefully this episode gives you guys some value, if and some motivation and just some encouragement to you know, make sure you go over your numbers. That's the key. Go over your numbers. You know, get into the habit of that, so that you can see when those changes and things like fuel and stuff need to be addressed in your pricing. and go from there, and you know, make sure you raise your prices if you need to. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.